through the sermon this morning, too. It's like, that was a good recovery on that. I don't know how you got back to that slide so quick, but good job. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. Good to see so many with us this morning that haven't been able to be with us recently. Bobby is able to be with us. Faye's able to be out this morning. And of course, Charles able to be with us this morning. That encourages us so much. Doctors told him not to come to church because of his immunity system, of course, is low, and he could pick up a virus very easily. So be aware of that. As much as you want to hug him and shake hands with him, and he wants to do the same to you, please refrain from doing that. We know that he's here because he loves the Lord, and he loves each and every one of us, and he desires to be with us. And one of the reasons we assemble together is to encourage one another unto love and good works. And certainly his presence here this morning is very encouraging to each and every one of us. And we're just so thankful that he can be out and be with us today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 begins by saying, "Let no man deceive himself." You know, we've been in the teenage class back here. We've been studying the book of Nehemiah most recently here. And the thing about Nehemiah is that Nehemiah is actually the last history book in the Old Testament. If you're just following the history of Israel, and I know that as they're listed in the Bible, they're not listed in chronological order, but Nehemiah is actually the last of the history books. And Nehemiah, you know, he comes into play after the children of Israel have returned from Babylonian captivity. The temple has begun to be rebuilt. Nehemiah comes in to help rebuild the walls. And it's mainly a physical restructuring of Israel, but we see he's very influential spiritually as well. And the people repent of their sins. They make pledges to God that they're going to put him first and follow the Mosaic law just as it was given to Moses. And yet, in a very short period of time that the book of Nehemiah covers, they go back to sinning and go away from God. And Nehemiah comes back and calls them back to repentance, and they repent, and things continue as they should for a period of time. But you can't help but think that the history of Israel, whether you're looking at it from the time of Moses and them leaving Egypt and entering the promised land, that 40 years in the wilderness, and all of that history of spiritually just of time when they're high and a time when they're low, the period of the judges, it just keeps continuing to repeat itself over and over again. And we've made the observation in class, well, how can they, you know, continue to keep making the same mistakes? And the point of it is that they're human. They're just like us. Do we keep making the same mistakes? Yeah. Do we know better? Yeah, we know better. Does that excuse us? No. People deceive themselves in various different ways. And you and I need to recognize that we can look at the highs and the lows of Israel spiritually, but we need to also recognize that those times when they fell off into their lows, that they were deceiving themselves. They were thinking they could have it both ways. And we do the same thing today. When one changes the Word of God, he deceives himself and he deceives others. Many men have repeatedly attempted to change God's Word. In Isaiah chapter 30 in verses 9 through 11, Isaiah says, "This is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want to hear the truth. The truth is too hard. Make it easier. People today are the same way. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, it says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. You know what a fable is, right? A fable is just something somebody makes up. It's a story somebody makes up. That's what the people of Isaiah's time were doing. They were saying, don't speak the truth that God has revealed to us. Make something up that's easier to follow. And here Paul is telling the evangelist Timothy, you know, the same thing's going to happen. The time is going to come when people are going to say, we don't want to hear the truth. Speak things that are easier for us. We don't want to hear the straight and narrow way. We want you to, now, still want to go to heaven. We want to fly away into heaven. But make the way easier. Make it broader. And men can do that, but it won't be a way to heaven. We need to, what we looked at in weeks past, we need to look straight before us, not to the right, not to the left. We need to be committed to the right way. But we try to have it both ways, and we deceive ourselves by saying, well, I'm not so bad. Other people do things worse than I do. And that may be true. But nevertheless, when we change the Word of God to accommodate us, we deceive ourselves. In the end, we will be judged by what is written in the books, not by what is preached from the pulpit by someone or what is taught by someone in a personal study or what you might have convinced yourself of. We are going to be judged by what is written in the books. Revelation 20 and verse 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. That's these books. The 66 books of the Bible. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The 66 books. That book of life is your name written there? Is it written in the book of life? Well, if we are doing what is written in the books, we are assured that it's written there. But if we have deceived ourselves in practicing something other than what's in the books, our name won't be there. When one minimizes his sin, he deceives himself. My sin's not so bad. Other people sin worse than I do. And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We need to recognize the truth of God's Word and recognize that sin is a transgression of the law. It's walking outside of the law. It's going against the law. It's doing exactly the opposite of what the law of God tells us to do. We need to recognize what sin is, and we need to recognize that when we're practicing sin and turn away from it, not deceive ourselves into thinking that, well, my sin's not so bad. In Matthew chapter 19 and verses 16 and 17, Jesus said, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Did Jesus say anything that this man didn't know already? Did this man think he didn't have to keep the commandments? What good thing shall I do to enter into life? As if there's one good thing? No, there's not one good thing. There's many good things. But as we've noticed so many times before, here's a man that had probably done many good things. And he wanted to know, is there some good thing that I haven't done yet that would make me even better? Jesus reminds him of the fact that no one is good but one, and that is God. There is only one who is good. And so when we deceive ourselves into thinking, well, my sin's not so bad, other people sin too, and people sin a whole lot worse than I do, and certainly God will understand why I have to sin, and there's a lot of good things about me. It's not like I don't believe in God and I don't believe in Jesus. It's not like I haven't been baptized. It's not like I don't attend worship services like so many other people do. I mean, I know that I have this sin, but look at all the good that I do. I'm a good person. No one is good. There is only one who is good. That is God. You see, we define good down to our standard, when the standard of good is God. That's the mistake that this man made. What good thing shall I do? You have to do all the good things. You have to do all the good things. Are you doing all the good things? That was the challenge that Jesus put to him. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Which one? Which one that I would be good? All of them. All of them. God calls us to be like Him, that we might honor Him and glorify Him. And we can do that. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 5 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, curses is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when good comes. He shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. You put your trust in man, put your trust in friends, put your trust in others who are saying, oh, you're a good person. You're going to heaven. And you know that the Bible condemns you of the sin that you're practicing. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. That tells us to keep all the commandments. He says, your hope then is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads its roots out by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. He's trusting in the Lord. His hope is in the Lord. He continually goes to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? And does what the Lord says. When one thinks that God is like man, you know, this is what a lot of people do today. Instead of wanting to be created in the image of God, they blame us and they'll say, well, man has created God in the image of man. There's a lot of truth to that. A lot of people have done that. But God is not like man. Adam and Eve could hide from each other, so they thought they could hide from God. In Psalm 50 and verse 21, it says, these things you have done, and I've kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, God speaking, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. You know, sometimes We know that we're sinning. We're hiding our sin from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We might be hiding our sin even from our own family members, those who are closest to us. Nobody knows. God knows. And lightning doesn't come down and strike us, or some catastrophe doesn't happen to bring us back. But every time we go to the Word of God, it condemns us and calls us to repentance. David covered up his sin with Bathsheba from Israel, but he could not hide his sin from God. And we can't hide our sin from God. Psalm 15 and verse 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good, taking it all into account, and will bring it into account in a final day." It brings it into account really every time we open the Word of God, doesn't it? If we allow it to speak to us and to judge us and to call us to repentance. Isn't it wonderful that God, although He sees our sin, calls us to repentance, calls us away from our sin to be in favor with Him? Like King Saul, we cannot lie to or deceive God. Remember when Saul became impatient and offered the sacrifice, and Samuel comes and says, "What have you done? It wasn't your place to do that." Samuel said to Saul, "Has the Lord such a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" It's not that the sacrifice needed to be offered. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we obey the Lord and we do things the way the Lord says to do it. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Wouldn't it have been better if Saul would have recognized that before, and as he was going through contemplating offering the sacrifice, hadn't been in such a hurry, took upon himself to do that which was not his place to do? His heart became hardened to God. God would remove Saul from being king, and David, of course, would take his place. God does not have pleasure in the same things that man has pleasure in. Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9, the familiar passage that God reveals to us about Him and about ourselves. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't think the way you think. Nor are your ways my ways. You don't think the way I think," says the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And God has revealed His thoughts to us. He has delivered His way to us. And His way is higher than our way, in the way that seems right to us. When one thinks that his way is right when it is wrong, he deceives himself. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." Its end separates us from God, here and hereafter. God's ways are higher than our ways. And we should rejoice in the fact that God has revealed His way to us, that we can walk in His way. Don't you find it interesting that as you go through the book of Acts, that the way of Christianity was just referred to as the way? It was the way of God? That people were so much recognizing that the gospel of Christ was the Word of God, and they were walking in the way, they were walking in the light, they realized that God had called them out of darkness to be the light of the world as they walk in the way of God in Christ Jesus. They rejoiced in that. You couldn't keep them quiet about that. And you know, brethren, we shouldn't be quiet about it either. And I know there are a lot of people in the world that want us to be quiet. But there are a lot of other people in the world who want to hear the truth. Who are seeking and asking and knocking. And they need to see Christ living in us. And they need to hear the Word of God coming from our mouth. But we deceive ourselves so many times into thinking that, well, we know this isn't what God wants us to do, but God is a loving God, and He's a gracious God, and He's a forgiving God, and I can practice this sin anyway, and He'll still save me. Show me that passage. Show me that passage of Scripture that says you don't have to repent. You don't have to stop sinning. You don't have to turn around. Show me that passage of Scripture. What is your hope built upon? Is it built upon the Word of God, or is it built upon your own deceptive thoughts and being encouraged to practice those things by other people that you might be around? Let me ask you this question. If the sin you're practicing is not so bad, then why aren't you telling your brothers and sisters in Christ about it? Why aren't you telling your brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what I do, and God accepts me? Because you know better. And you need to let what you know better convict you now before God has to convict you for all eternity. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 9, Paul said, I indeed myself thought that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. All that time that he was persecuting Christians, putting Christians in jail, putting Christians to death, giving consent that they be put to death, all that time he thought that was the right thing to do. He said, but I was wrong. But you know, the thing about Paul is when he learned he was wrong, He made a complete 180 degree turn away from what he thought that was wrong to what he knew was right. And you know what's right. And wouldn't your life be so much happier if you knew you were doing what is right in the sight of God? Don't deceive yourself. When one attempts to reap where he has not sown, he deceives himself. Galatians 6 and verses 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. One is just as true as the other. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. But we deceive ourselves, and we think that we can deceive God. We deceive ourselves by saying, I'm not such a bad person. I know I'm doing this, and I know that it's wrong, but God is a loving God, and He's a gracious God, and He's a forgiving God. I'm not asking Him to forgive me because I'm going to keep doing this that I'm doing. I'm just asking Him to save me in spite of the sin that I'm practicing. God is not mocked. You cannot take advantage of God. Take advantage of His love. Take advantage of His desire to forgive you. God calls us to repentance. His forgiveness is conditional on our love for Him, to love Him more than we love this sin that we're practicing that we know is against the will of God. When one places his faith in tomorrow, he deceives himself. What do you mean by that, Doug? I mean, so many times we say, well, I know that I'm wrong and I know I need to stop doing this and I'll do it. I'll stop tomorrow or in a month or in a year or sometime down the road. We just assume that we've got tomorrow, don't we? Well, we know the passage, James 4, verses 13 and 14. What is your life? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Your life is like a vapor that appears for a while and then passes away. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen for the rest of today. Let no man deceive himself. Let no man deceive himself. Are you deceiving yourself? When we think we can change the Word of God, when we minimize our sin, when we think we can hide from God because we can hide from each other, we're hiding our sin from each other, so maybe we're hiding it from God. No. He sees it. When we think our way is right, when we know it's wrong. When we attempt to reap where we have not sown, we're attempting to go to heaven while we're practicing unrighteousness. Not going to work. Don't place your faith in tomorrow to make yourself right with God. Place your faith in the Word of God and the promises of God. And if you're not right with God this morning, make yourself right with Him today, right now. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're here a child of God and out of favor with Him, make yourself right with Him right now. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.